Hey, what's going on, crypto family? So today we got the founder and CEO of Velocity Ledger, Sean Sloves, coming on to tell us about the platform that they built and that they hope to go live this June or July with. He breaks down what it is that they plan to offer everyone from institutions to retailers, as well as the journey to get where they're at today. And don't forget, please help us grow the family. Give us a comment and review on the Apple or Google Play Store. It's super quick and easy. Just scroll down, click the little stars, comment, and just help us grow the fam. So without further ado, I give you Sean Sloves. What is going on, crypto family? So today we got Sean Sloves with us. He is the CEO and founder of Velocity Ledger. So appreciate you coming on to tell us all about what you're trying to do in the space.
Appreciate it. Thank you for inviting me on to speak.
Hey, anytime. It's always great to get people on that, are doing things out there, in the real world and blockchain, and kind of tell us, all the stuff that maybe we don't see, right? So kind of the hurdles, the obstacles, the successes, all the stuff that happens behind the scenes on these blockchain projects that, the world doesn't really know about. They just see the quasi-finished product or the thing that keeps evolving, but they don't understand maybe, what it took to get to that place and, maybe learn more about the founders behind it. So it's great to have you on to do both. So with, I always like to learn a little bit about the founders, of the projects rather than just talking straight tech the whole time. And, one question that I like to ask people too is, if you could change anything in the world, so you could say you got a magic wand, you could change anything from past to present, what one thing would you change that happened or is happening in the world?
What would be the one thing to change that happening in the world? If you look at political turmoil, it'd be nice if we had some peace and harmony in the States, and that bled over to the rest of the world. But unfortunately, what's going on this day and age is I would change that more than anything else. Because it bleeds over to anything and everything you do if there's instability going on in the States the way it is.
Can't we all just get along?
Yep. Doesn't seem that way, unfortunately. Yeah,
I hear you, man. So how'd you get into blockchain? How'd you get into crypto, man? Kind of tell us your story. What brought you here?
Well, we sort of drank the Kool-Aid or bit the Bitcoin bug around 2012. That was earlier days when you had Coinbase starting and blockchain.com and others. We like the whole notion of something decentralized that you could just trade and just move around without the encumbrances of what goes on in traditional assets today. Our background was always basically dealing with technology and Wall Street firms. And because of the regulations and the complexities of doing things in that space, we got involved in 2012. And these were early days when you had Mt. Gox and, BTC and other things. We were fascinated with the ability to put up a market center and just trade. If you try and do that anywhere in the world to trade like equities, you're dealing with encumbrance, you're dealing with regulations, you're dealing with a lot of money. And so the idea of being able to trade Bitcoin, move money around was fascinating. So we got involved in 2012. We put out a crypto exchange back then for about 2.5 years called Atlas ATS. We ultimately walked away and more or less focused on technology because of the regulation issues there, but we bit the bug. Just like if you look at ebooks or digital music, we sort of saw the whole world going to digital assets. So we've been fascinated and involved since around 2012.
Nice. And so with Velocity Ledger, I mean, you guys are kind of like a web-based trading system, right? A financial trading system. Is this mostly like STOs, like security tokens? With like maybe a division that does OTC, basically, what is kind of Velocity Ledger do in a nutshell for people?
Well, our primary focus is not to add another cryptocurrency exchange to the ecosystem. We feel there's a lot of guys that do it well. You have Binance, Hubu, OKCoin. I have a lot of ones that are U.S. based. It's not necessarily just STOs. I think with STOs, a lot of it's focused on individual companies, and the problem with that is that you're just tokenizing a company, and whether the company intends to do well or not, you typically get involved of the issues of the company. So we're really focusing on digital assets. Assets could be things like diamonds, or could be oil, could be gold. It's also could be pools of crypto, or it could be pools of company. So Velocity Ledger is more about digital assets. You can call them security tokens. We sort of think it's a bit of a dirty word at times, but we do mention it on the website. But it's more or less about digital assets and asset-backed tokens that we feel that it's not quite served yet, and regulations is coming around for that. And, you know, so that's our main focus right now.
No, I definitely think that everything is going to end up being tokenized. You know, you're going to be able to take, you know, physical things from the real world and split them up into tokens and be able to, and not only crowdfund, but be able to sell and to buy, you know, real world assets through tokenized means. So it's, you can definitely see the trend going that way, and more people are embracing it. But like you said, it's kind of like the regulatory uncertainty of things, right? So as you guys are going down this path, how far along into the platform are you? How long before it's going to be able to launch? And then I'll ask you some more questions about, the regulatory environment.
Yeah, I mean, so the platform, Velocity Ledger, we've been working on it for a year and change. So it's primarily developed and finished. It's ready to go, but what's been holding us up, I mean, obviously we're in the process of an ICO. The ICO portal's there. We've been selling tokens for participants to join, but the technology is completed. I mean, it's integrated with a dozen different blockchain platforms, including things like EOS, Ethereum, Stellar. You're able to tokenize your assets and offer them out on the platform to investors and participants. You're able to trade those tokens. You can use open network. We did develop a private chain network to keep track. One of the things that, having been in crypto prior, if you're going to tokenize stuff, don't use a database necessary to store keys or to move assets around. So we've developed an internal private chain. So anything that comes from public chains, it's ledger-to-ledger transfers. We re-tokenize assets to move around, and we allow you to tokenize on public or private networks. So that's all done. It's been a long road to get the tech there. I won't. But what we're mainly waiting for is to finish up the licensing and get approval to launch, and which is probably around June or July, hopefully.
All right. And then so, I mean, as far as when you're talking about, moving assets around, are you actually ever in custody of other people's, assets? Do you hold custody, or how does that work?
The primary place that we're operating is on the Bermuda. So we built the whole cold storage custody solution for that. So the actual tokens that represent, even in one of the obvious choices is real estate or pools of real estate, we'll have the tokens that represent the company that manages that, or groups that manage the real estate. But ultimately, it's still the system itself. So however assets are held for properties, or assets are held for whether it's, gold or other, it's still traditional means. This is more, the token represents title and shares and ownership, and then you'd have to trace it back to where those physical assets are. So we're not holding that piece, just the title and ownership.
Yeah, that's one of the things in crypto we're looking for a solid solution in, is where the asset, you can actually prove that it's tied to the tokens versus just, hey, I own, the Eiffel Tower. Here's the tokens, And I'm selling Eiffel Tower tokens and I don't own it at all, right? So there's...
Yeah, this ties directly back to it 100%. Otherwise, we won't issue it. We won't do anything. And then the tokens... what we do is we do have a whole custody cold storage solution, and 90% of the assets will be held in cold storage, and we can still make them available for trading. The thing about with custody, you never worry about people giving you tokens. You only worry when they want to take them. So we had to assure that at least the exit point between the owner is the correct owner, and it ties back to the assets. So we put a lot of work into that.
Gotcha. You'd mentioned too about, you know, the users being able to tokenize their assets or offer their assets through tokenized means. Does that work right there within the platform? How, so say for instance, I've got an apartment complex, 1,000 units, I want to tokenize it. Is that something you guys do as well? Or I just come to you after it's been tokenized and then send you the tokens?
No, we give you the ability to do it. So the one thing about like, and I, you know, shouldn't emphasize Bermuda, it could be anywhere, but we have the ability to set up your we call a sponsor, or the owner of the assets can go in and put all their information in there and list the asset and whatever means it needs to prove that they own it, and then tokenize it, and then they have the ability to go out and offer it out on a public network and the ability to track that and everything. You know, there's platforms out there like Polymath, Harbor, Securitize. We do all that. The primary difference between what we do and our platform is we have this notion, issue, trade, and settle. So we give the ability to put it up in a secondary market and then legally move it between participants and stored. We felt that just doing one bit of the ecosystem wasn't enough, that, you know, you really need to do soup to nuts all the way through. But any company can come in and qualify and then tokenize their asset, 100%.
Nice. And then do you have somebody on your team that verifies that the data that they inputted is correct and factual?
Yeah, so 100%. We have people that would verify and go through. We have a couple services, you know, to verify the identity, and then we would verify the company and then the assets and trace it all the way back. Yeah, 100%.
Cool. And then as far as, you know, being based in Bermuda, does that limit who's able to use your platform? So say, for instance, you know, say I live in San Francisco, would I be able to use, you know, your guys' platform and be moving tokens around and all that kind of cool stuff?
Yes. So the one thing about Bermuda, besides zero tax zone, you can pretty much operate with anybody in the world. What they do is they look at assess risk. Bermuda is known to be the insurance capital of the world. So really, it's about the risk of the country you're dealing with. So if we decide that we want to start, you know, working with people in Pakistan, that might be a red flag. Not that there's anything wrong with Pakistan. It's just so there's a list of countries that the world looks at that are considered risk. But as long as we comply with U.S. laws, people from San Francisco can operate and do stuff within Bermuda. What typically happens is if we're, you know, the Bermuda entity would be the equivalent of a stock exchange, but for digital assets, we'd have something called a chaperone. It would be some sort of entity in the United States that would allow you to work with us directly and just to make sure that we comply with whatever laws are in the U.S. But we could work with pretty much anybody in the world as long as they're not listed, you know, as a terrorist nation or something that, you know, there's objections to. But yeah, we're pretty much wide open.
Nice. And then as far as, do you guys have a physical presence in Bermuda? Do you have a team there that's, you know, running the show, or is this just more like the entity is structured there and you guys have your developers or, you know, your team, you know, stateside?
Well, yeah, so we have guys in New York, we have guys in Boston and guys in Ukraine. We're in process of hiring people to do all the local stuff in terms of the listings, the compliance and everything else. Yeah, we're definitely Bermuda based, and we I think about our plan over the next couple 2 or 3 months to have anywhere from 15 to 20 people.
Gotcha. And then I know, like here in the States, when you want to be, you know, allowing people to move, you know, we'll just call them security tokens, you need kind of like at a minimum, like a broker dealer license, right? So you'd spoke a little bit about the licensing that you're waiting for. What licensing do you currently have, and what licensing do you plan to receive to allow you to do this and be regulatory compliant, I guess?
So Bermuda is an interesting process. First, for our token offering for the platform and mainly for members and people that want to use the technology in other parts of the world, we are enabling companies to take the tech and put it in Singapore and other things. But we had to go through a licensing with the Ministry of Finance to comply with their laws to offer a token. So that was a license process. There's something called the DABA license, which is their digital business or digital act business for digital assets. So if you look at the U.S., there's something called broker dealers or ATSs. It's a lot harder than that. But, and then if you look at the level of a stock exchange, it's a little bit less, but it's pretty intense. They have a lot of rules and regulations there. It's not for the faint-hearted, so you have to be committed and you have to comply to the rules. There's things of code of conduct on how you do properly store custody for entities. There's AML, ATF, and then there's a whole bunch of procedure stuff. So they just want to make sure that the customers are protected and you're operating according to the law, whether it's within Bermuda or other countries. But it's definitely a lot of work. If you're willing to go through the work and the process, it's well worth it, because regulation is not going away, unfortunately. And if you want to be there for the next 5 to 10 years, as everything gets digitalized, it's probably going to be easier to do this today than try to do something in the States 2 years from now or other places. So, but it's a lot of work to comply to the regulations, which are posted on their website.
Gotcha. Yeah, I know here in the U.S., it's very fluid. People are always trying to figure out, you know, are they being compliant? They're just going off of, you know, old laws and old regulations and hoping that they're doing things properly. And then the SEC came out with that 13-page report that basically painted everything a security token. So people are trying to figure out how to navigate that. So it's definitely very fluid. So I can understand why people would, you know, go offshore to do this type of stuff until there's either A, clarity, or, you know, B, you know, I guess, you know, it's more friendly for them. So, and then as far as, you know, your platform itself, what benefits do you guys have, you know, for the users over something like a T0 or, you know, another type of exchange like that?
So the benefits, one is the ability to do a lot of these assets that you can't do. So if you want to issue stable coins or investment products, utility tokens that qualify, even ETFs. I mean, if you want to do a crypto ETF in the United States, it hasn't happened. It may never happen. But we're trying to offer products that people are interested in, that diversify and mitigate risk, like instead of only just Bitcoin and one asset, if there's a pool of assets. Now, if you're joining the platform and if you're buying the tokens, what we're doing is, you know, whatever initial tokens you get, we're giving away part of the network tokens. So say we total issue over, I don't know, just say a year, we issue 25 million tokens or 50 million tokens. We're giving away over 5 years the same amount to the token holders. So we're doubling your numbers just to have you want to continue with the network and participate. We're also going to be giving up back revenue, and there'll be a lot of other benefits to the network of if you need the tokenized stuff, you want to work within there, you want to get revenue, you want to get additional tokens for services. One thing that we're also doing is we're launching in the next couple of weeks something called Velocity Channel. We're trying to give more insight and information about news and tokens and the ability for people to talk about them, to rate them, and also provide research. So as part of the token holder, you'll get access to all that information. So if there's tokens listed on the Bermuda entity or other entities that are doing similar stuff, we're giving a whole news channel dedicated rating system, blogging system, research, and insight. And then giving ability, like I said, once again, users to give their input and their view. So we're trying to bring a lot of attention and news around these things. And there's other stuff, but I mean, for the most part. And the last piece is, if you want to take that whole technology stack, and if you do become a token participant in the exchange, we'll let you take that and deploy it in whatever regulated environment, or if you're in Singapore, Australia, New Zealand, wherever it may be in the world, you could take that stack and use it as well.
Nice. And then do you plan on opening this up to outside of just, you know, individuals? Will this be available for like broker dealers and people like that to plug into your system and everything be automated? Or is this kind of like a per person transaction type system?
Well, so out of the gate, just to it's mainly institutions and credit investors out of the gate. You can come in and participate directly. So if you have other exchanges, we could partner with, it could be broker dealers, it could be crypto exchanges, it could be institutions, and then high net worth people. Day two, we are going to open it up to, you know, retail and regular people in certain capacities so they can participate as well. But yeah, we want to build up a global network. So as we launch this, we like the notion of 20 other stacks running in the world and having assets trade between each other and have them settlement and keeping that network and expanding it. You know, being in Bermuda, you do have that global ability, but you don't really capture, you know, if you go to a certain country, and I'll use, you know, Taiwan as example, local participants, local regs. So having stacks or other people operate the stack in those places will be beneficial to grow the network and get more access to people.
So growing it. Nice. And then as far as, you know, you'd mentioned earlier that you guys have custody of the funds. Is there any kind of insurance in place? A lot of people, they want to know that, hey, look, if I'm leaving my tokens here and I'm not in control of them, at least there's insurance, right? So is that something you guys offer as well?
Yeah, I mean, you can't operate without insurance there on custody. It won't be, we won't deal with any cash, but the tokens are held in cold storage. We also are opening up. Once we get past the initial phase, we do work with Prime Trust, which is a Nevada Corp. You can keep assets there. I think there's other places like Deltek and other custody people. So we're going to open it up to allow people to have custody elsewhere. But with our cold storage, we won't own the keys. You'll own the keys and hold the keys. So at least if you're going to hold the asset there, you'll put them in cold storage. And if you do lose the keys, we do have a recovery process. So it's not gone forever. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different options that are going to come online. We realize that you can't trust everybody, and whatever you feel comfortable with, we'll try and work with them.
Gotcha. Cool. And so this, you plan on going live sometime around June?
June, July frame time frame is provided that the BMA approves everything and gives us the green light. Unfortunately, we don't have control of that. You know, we have to satisfy all the requirements and everything else in order to go live.
All right, cool. And then I always like to, you know, learn more about the founders and stuff. So maybe tell us what the most important book or your favorite book, something you recommend to others, maybe a book that maybe changed your life.
You know, in this day and age, I think I listen to more audio books than read books. But there was a book called Crossing the Chasm. You know, I had done a VC project, I think it was mid to late 2000s. And one of the things, if there's pioneers and then there's settlers. One of the things that I learned from that book is that, you know, when you're a pioneer, you have to eventually, you know, birth or release what you've been building and take a risk. So if you're building software, much like we've done for Monarch, that at some point the network has to go live, and you have to go through the pains of getting that network up and running and participants. So that book was interesting because it really defined for me corporate culture, that, you know, the pioneers or the founders have the vision and the ability to put everything together, and eventually as these platforms mature and as you move forward, that a lot of the culture in a company will change to settlers, and it's no longer something that you feel that you're part of because you're all about pioneering and getting to that next level. So the whole, it changed me in my view that, you know, building new tech and getting involved with new sectors and new innovations is the exciting part, and that's part of the whole blockchain community and the whole thing about digital assets. Eventually, when this thing matures in 5 or 10 years, who knows what the market will look like, and I'll probably would have moved on and the settlers would have taken over everything we worked on.
Yeah, I don't think we've seen anything yet, and I'm pretty sure that whatever we think it's going to be, it's probably going to be something very different. So
probably, you know, who knows, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so maybe what's your favorite movie? Something to recommend to others.
My favorite movie, you're really putting me on the spot on that one.
I like audiobooks, so.
Yeah, that's a good one. I could say recently would be 500 Days of Summer, you know. And I watched that movie recently, and, you know, I really identify with the poor guy who, it goes after the girl and is sort of left alone, you know. But nice. That would be my most recent one. I other than that, it's probably some sci-fi movie like Star Wars or something, to be honest.
There you go. There you go. And if you could be president for the day, you could make any new law or you could, you know, revoke a law. What would you do? President. You know,
I would remove all regulations for blockchain and just let the industry just evolve much faster and get quicker adoption, to be honest. I think just these regs, old regs are trying to apply to new technology, you know. The one thing, and then just the what happens with the cryptocurrencies in the United States, the whole notion of doing money transmitter licenses and having a bit license is just horrible, because they're trying to apply old laws to a new technology and just something that's very different. So I would wipe that out for a day, 100%.
All right. I guess the day after we'd have to worry about it all coming back, but we'd have a day to go crazy, right?
Absolutely. We should have that once a year just to see what it's like.
You know, the purge of regulation.
I'm sure you get 1 billion people using it that day.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome, man. So where do people go to learn more, to find out, you know, questions that or answers, I guess, to questions I didn't ask here? Where can people go?
They can go to velocityledger.com. That's the main site. We're putting up more and more information in there. And it links and it talks a little bit about what we're doing as a white paper and some links to some site. Over the next week or 2 weeks, we're going to progressively start making more announcements and pushing more stuff out there. So that's a good starting point.
So they'll go there to keep up to date. All right, man. Well, it was great hearing, you know, what you guys are doing. Appreciate you taking time for us. So God bless, and we'll catch you on the next one.
I appreciate it, man. It's been a pleasure, and you're doing a great thing. I can't wait to catch up on all your other YouTube videos.
Right on. All right, take care.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Big thanks to Sean coming on and telling us all about Velocity Ledger and their big plans to bring value to the crypto and financial space. Just a friendly reminder, Crypto Beetle shows are never financial advice, recommendations, or trading strategies. The views expressed here are solely that of Robert Beetles and his guests. Robert Beetles is the co-founder of the Monarch Wallet, host of TradingView Sessions, Crypto Beetles on YouTube, and owns several entities. Robert's opinions here do not reflect that of those entities. Some information shared here may not actually be factual. These shows are for information and entertainment purposes only. Never invest a single Satoshi or penny in anything without first seeking the counsel and advice of a professional financial advisor. Robert Beetles is not a financial expert or advisor. Investing in anything is super dangerous. You can lose all of your money, so always trade at your own risk. Please help us grow the family. Give us a comment and review on the Apple or Google Play Store. It's super quick and easy. Just scroll down, click the little stars, comment, and just help us grow the family. Love you. God bless you. Catch you on the next one.